Thanks for listening to Open Line tonight. Embracing Authority is John Kitchen's book. John, I mentioned the subtitle because there's one on the cover that says The Challenge of Living God's Way in God's World. I like that. But there's another one inside that says Learning to Live Joyfully in God's World. So take your pick, huh?
Yeah, take your pick. I think we went for both, and we compromised. There's an issue of compromise, I suppose. But I think they both say really the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, living in God's world, God's way, is going to be to live joyfully, I think.
Yep,
and,
amen.
So it's really the same thing. And again, it comes back to a worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Either this is God's world or it's not. If it is God's world, either he's sovereignly in control of it, knowing all things, good beyond all comprehension, just and fair and wise and benevolent and loving and merciful and all that the Bible describes to be, or he's not. And if he is, and we believe the scriptural testimony about who he is, then this is his world. And to go his way, to follow him, to walk with him, to heed his word, is the going to unlock joy, not always pleasure, and not always
right.
Happiness, perhaps, you know, because there are difficult things in this life that he calls
mm-hmm.
us to, and yet a joy that says, I'm moving with the current of human history, of redemptive history. I'm moving with God, and my life is a part of the grand purpose that he's working out, and it's not just a mundane workaday, you know, hang on, get through, someday get to heaven kind of thing. I'm a part of the grand purposes of God.
One thing that you deal with in the book, and I'm so glad that you do, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about this, is the interplay between the authority of God and the government. And I haven't traveled extensively around the world, but whenever I've been outside of North America, it's obvious to me that we think differently about this in our country than many people around the world think about it.
We certainly do. I have traveled a few places, not extensively as well, but I remember being in the country of Belarus a number of years ago, not terribly long after communism fell, and still a very repressive place. And listening to the believers talk about their government, you know, really basically a dictatorship still in many ways. It was right in the middle of the Clinton impeachment things and everything, so we had our own. And it was interesting talking to the believers about their government and ours, and we don't think the same about a lot of those things.
Paul gives us very clear instruction about our attitude toward the government, but our allegiance is not ultimately to the government, is it?
No, it's not. You know, he says very clearly in Romans, and Peter makes it clear as well in 1 Peter and Paul and Titus, that the governing authorities are there by God's hand. God sets up those that are in governing authority, and yet again, it's not an all-encompassing authority that they possess. They are under authority, and so we have to find God's will in this. And I think largely, in most cases, we certainly go the way of submitting to God. And even when even if there are ungodly, unbelieving, unjust ruling authorities, God still repeatedly throughout his word used them to accomplish his purposes, and God's apostles told us that we find God's will most often by living in submission to them. There are those exceptions, however.
Mm-hmm. And then another chapter you have is on the authority of God and the church. Now, there are different schools of thought, of course, about this, but there are some fundamental things in Scripture that really aren't open to negotiation on this authority of God.
Right. I think there are those who would say, well, there's no it's silly to talk about authority in the church. That becomes, you know, we start throwing around the names of those who've abused authority, cult leaders, and on and on, and we want to fly away from that as far as we can. And yet, I think it's pretty clear in the Scriptures that God does indeed invest a measured authority in those who lead the church. And again, not a unilateral thing that they can do as they like. And yet, he clearly wants leadership in the church. He wants those who go to the fore and say, here's the will of God, we need to go this way, and people to come along and follow. And you know, whatever way the particular polity of a church works out, I think those things are scriptural, and those things need to be placed if the church is going to be healthy and really a force for God's purposes in the world.
As the pastor of a local church there in Ohio, how does this topic of the authority of God, the authority of His Word, how does this affect how you do ministry, especially in the pulpit?
That's a great question. To me, it's a frightening, awesome thing to stand up and speak for God. And
thus saith the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. You know that we still need that. Thus saith the Lord. You know, Peter said, you know, those who have the gifting of the Spirit, they stand up and they speak as though they're speaking the very words of God. And well, that's a lot different than, you know, telling a few cute stories and hanging it together with a few points and finishing with a flourish and everybody goes home feeling well. You're saying, here's the will of God. This is a watershed moment. God is speaking to us from His Word, not from me, but it's His authority, His Word. And if, you know, what is said from the pulpit is a representative and accurate representative of that word, then that can't just be passed off as, oh, okay, well, wonder what's for lunch. That's a holy moment.
And it also means that you're going to deal with the scriptures as a whole. You can't pick and choose.
Absolutely. I'm a great proponent of expository preaching. It allows you to it keeps you from wandering from things you don't want to talk about. It forces you sometimes to talk about things you'd rather not talk about. And I think it is a way that you can keep the whole counsel of God before your people. And I think it represents a model for how to approach the scriptures, how to study them, how to take the scriptures and discover what it is that God is saying to us there and arrive at what that means and how to respond to that in an appropriate way.
I'm going to quote your own words from the last chapter of your book. You say, the question is not if God will win, but when. The question is not if we will submit to Him, but when. The question is not if we will bow to His authority, but when.
Mm, yeah. I think that time is on the side, if you will, of proving the scriptures correct and vindicating what God has said. There will come a time. History is not some circular thing that just cycles around and we get yesterday's reruns just a little bit differently today. It's moving somewhere. There's a divinely appointed end. God is taking us there. Jesus Christ is going to return again. When He returns in glory, what has been, should have been most obvious to us all along will suddenly be unavoidably obvious, and that is His divine majesty and power and authority and glory made known. And every, you know, as it says in Philippians, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And some of those that confess that will do that gladly. It will be their greatest triumph to proclaim that, and there will be those who say that through clenched teeth.
Hmm. John, thanks for your courage. Thanks for your boldness given to you by the Scriptures there to do what you do.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
John Kitchen, his book is called Embracing Authority, and you'll find more information on our website, openlineradio.org. My thanks to Tricia Boyle tonight, Pete Campbell as well, Pete engineering tonight's program, Tricia producing, Carissa Marshall answering telephones tonight, and Carissa will be leaving us soon. Thanks so much for your good help, Carissa. Rebecca McGowan has been sitting in tonight with Carissa, learning the ropes of how to answer these open line telephones. My thanks to our programming coordinator, Cindy Rojas, as well. Tomorrow night, Pastor Cole is here to answer your Bible questions. And then I'm looking forward to Friday night. My friend Michael Card is going to be here. Michael has a new book out called A Sacred Sorrow. It's about the laments of Scripture, biblical lament as a language to talk with God and commune with God. We'll explore that with Michael on Friday night when you join us for Open Line. Thanks for listening and good night.